You're listening to The Leonard Lopez Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Few new plays open to the kind of critical acclaim that August Osage County has received. Charles Isherwood of the New York Times called it the most exciting new American play Broadway has seen in years. And luckily, this Steppenwolf production of Tracy Letts' family drama has just extended its run at the Imperial Theater until April 13th. I'm very pleased to welcome two of its cast members, Deanna Dunnigan and Amy Morton, who play mother and daughter in this wildly dysfunctional Western family, to my show today. Hello. And I would have said stars, but this is so much an ensemble production.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this seems to be the year of the season of the Broadway ensemble production. Do you think something is happening? I mean, we had Rock and Roll, and then there were three or four plays.
The Seafarer.
Yeah, The Seafarer, which is just amazing.
The Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Farnsworth.
Mm-hmm. Farnsworth. And Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Steppenwolf has always stressed that, hasn't it? Even though many stars have come out of the company.
Yes, very much so. This is sort of the thing, I guess, that we excel at is this type of theater.
Dave, well, you opened up to great reviews here. Did you receive equally great reviews in Chicago?
Yes,
absolutely. Yes,
they were really wonderful.
Well, Amy, your last Broadway appearance here was as Nurse Ratched in the Steppenwolf production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So, mm-hmm. Do we have to wait for you to be in a great Steppenwolf production to see you each time?
No. It just depends on who would like to hire me, quite frankly. I'm not exclusive to Steppenwolf, although I am a member. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
And Deanna, you're not a member of Steppenwolf?
I'm not a member of Steppenwolf, although I have known many of the members for many years. Amy and I first worked together in the early 80s.
Yeah, something like that.
It's at Victory Gardens Theater in Chicago. And I've worked... Rondi Reed, who plays my sister and is a member of the company, actually directed me in my first Steppenwolf show in the mid-'80s, Stepping Out.
Mm.
So I've known most of these people that I'm working with.
Is this your first Broadway appearance?
No. I understudied a production of Man and Superman at Circle in the Square years ago with George Grizzard, Mark Lamos. It was a wonderful thing. I got to the theater 5 minutes late for a half hour, and I was going on in the leading role. And I did, and ICM signed me the next day. They wrote a piece on me in backstage, and nothing happened.
Well, I think everybody is stunned by your performance in this play.
Thank you.
It begins with the disappearance of the family's patriarch, Beverly Weston, an alcoholic poet and a retired professor. Deanna, you play his wife, Violet. Can you tell us about her? How did Tracy Letts describe the character to you?
As his grandmother.
Ah.
It is actually.
That must have been some wild grandmother.
Indeed. Yes, he said this is his maternal grandmother.
She's suffering from cancer of the mouth. Do you see that as a metaphor for her extremely sharp tongue?
Oh, sure. And Bev even says that. He says that's the joke, that she has cancer of the mouth. She is an addict to prescription drugs, and she's angry. You know, she came from that time, my mother's generation, when women had very little opportunity except to be wives and mothers, and she had not much education, although she's a smart woman.
A smart woman trapped in a small town in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Married to an academic who obviously has an awful lot of book learning.
Indeed.
Now, in the reviews, she's been described as a cross between Mary Tyrone from Long Day's Journey and Tonight. That's obviously because of the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And Martha from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Did you think about those when you were
working on the
character?
No, I didn't. Actually, I played Mary Tyrone when I was young. I was in my early 40s. And Mary Tyrone's a piece of cake compared to Violet Weston. You know, Violet
she's just a junkie.
Yeah, she's something else. I turned the role down at first. I thought it would be too hard. I said, I can't do this.
Oh, really? Because I would think that, and I'm talking to both of you now, these are incredibly juicy parts. These are the sorts of things that actresses die for.
Yes. Amy, why don't you...
Yes, absolutely. These roles come around once in a blue moon.
It's rare for a play to have such great roles for women of a certain age.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a large age range that Tracy covers in this play. But I think probably Deanna's speaking to the exhaustion factor. Mm-hmm. It's extremely physically and emotionally taxing. So that, I think that's why you thought
right.
twice about it, right?
Yes.
And it's also a long play with two intermissions. We don't see two intermissions much anymore. But that means that you're working a long night, aren't you?
You know, I spend 40 hours a week at the theater, and that's a job. Mm-hmm. And most people with 40-hour-a-week jobs don't scream and yell for 3.5 hours a night, you know. And
be mean to everybody.
And be mean. And on two show days, that's 7 hours of screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
So, and that doesn't count the time I have to take at home, you know, getting prepared. So it's a full, it takes your life over.
Amy, you play Barbara, the eldest of the Weston's three daughters. What did you know about her going into the role?
What did I know about her?
I mean, did you talk with the playwright
about
her?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that she is sort of an amalgam of different relatives of his. And the role is, you know, he did a couple of great things for me, one being he wrote in hot flashes because I'm getting hot flashes now. So, you know,
he wrote that in?
Yes.
During the rehearsal period?
It was there by like the third draft or something like that. So it was very helpful. So whenever I was getting one on stage, I can just grab a magazine, start fanning myself and not worry about it. This is a role I feel a very strange affinity for. She speaks in rhythms that I speak. She's potty mouth, just like I'm a potty mm-hmm. mouth. So I feel very close to this character.
She's also her mother's daughter, even
Absolutely.
Though she's a lot nicer. Mm-hmm. And I wonder when you're developing a character, whether you think about that and whether you had to bounce off of what Deanna was doing.
Well, I think you do it instinctually. You know, he's the way Tracy's written it, it's sort of impeccable in that regard of tight construction, where so often Deanna and I are mirroring what the other person is saying, but maybe an act later. Mm-hmm. So, or even the movements, the speech patterns become very similar and reminiscent. And I think that's just, you know, sort of a mark of brilliant playwriting.
Well, do you see her as someone who realizes she could easily turn into a mother and is desperately trying not to?
Yeah, I think she realizes it almost too late, but sort of escapes by the skin of her teeth.
Now, there must be another great pleasure here. You have this wonderful play that I suspect is going to be produced again and again over the years because it is just so wonderful. And you have the opportunity to create these characters the first time.
You know, I think that's what really, I said no for weeks. I said, I can't. It's just too hard. I can't live there. I can't be that person emotionally. I can't do it physically. And then I thought, I can afford to fail at this, but I can't afford to not be the first person to do it. You know, it's just a brilliant play and a brilliant part. So,
yeah, this never happened. So,
mm-mm.
We're all feeling very grateful to be involved with it.
And there are an awful lot of people involved. 13 mm-hmm. characters in this play.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them has to, in a way, without being stereotypical, has to define the character fairly early so that we can keep track of them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Tracy's done it sort of masterfully. Nothing feels labored, or there isn't a character that comes on that all of a sudden has to speak pages of exposition to get the audience caught up. It's all done very naturally.
My guests are two of the 13 cast members of the hit production of August Osage County, now at the Imperial Theater on West 45th Street. highly praised for good reason. They are Deanna Dunnigan and Amy Morton, who play a mother and a daughter. There are three daughters, mm-hmm. very different, and a lot of other people, as we said. Reviews have invoked O'Neill, Albee, Sam Shepard, Lillian Hellman. When you first read the script, did you think that this play was in the tradition of the great American playwrights?
I did. His first draft was brilliant.
He's done something before, hasn't he, that was pretty good?
Oh, he's written quite a few things. Bug, Killer Joe, Man from Nebraska. He also wrote the screenplay for Bug. But this is somewhat of a departure. He'd never written anything quite this large, quite this autobiographical.
Or ambitious in theme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though the plot involves alcoholism, drug addiction, adultery, pedophilia, some other shockers that I don't want to give away, it's also very, very funny.
It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way you can swallow this play is while you're laughing.
Yeah, but what about playing it? Do you have to tread a fine line between the dramatic and the comedic, don't you?
No, you don't play... Well, I don't mean this to be... This is what it is.
You don't play it for comedy.
But the best comedy is serious, you know, and that's the way to play comedy is to... be absolutely serious and not play for the laughs. And you do see that sometimes, especially after a show's been running a long time. And I think it's a killer for a play.
Because you know that this line's going to get a laugh, and the next thing you know, you start actually working it for the laugh.
Yes, and once you start asking for that laugh,
You're sunk.
Well, you've been doing this for a while now. You started in Chicago in last spring with pretty much the same cast?
All but two.
So this is imported from the Chicago production.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That would also mean that everybody has to keep this thing fresh, but it would also mean that you have to adjust to a different kind of theater. How does the Imperial compare to the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago?
Well, it's a beautiful house. It's not as intimate, but it doesn't feel cavernous. It feels warm.
It's the same shape as Steppenwolf.
Yes, it is.
It's the same configuration.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a 1,400-seat theater.
Only twice as big. That's no big deal.
Well, does that mean having to project differently?
Yes, absolutely.
That's probably the most difficult, I guess, you know, is... We do have some area mics. We're not body mic'd. So many plays on Broadway are body mic'd. But we're fortunate enough. All of us are primarily theater actors, which is also something you don't always see in New York. And we have years and years of working in the Chicago stages, almost none of which, except the musical theaters perhaps, out in the burbs.
Yeah.
No, they don't mic the houses in Chicago because they're not that big.
Well, we don't do a lot of miking here either, I guess, in a theater like this. As you said, area miking.
Well, all the musical theaters.
Yeah. Nowadays, everybody is miked in musicals. When I was a kid, it was Ethel Merman, and
she did not need a mic.
Amy, one of your lines that's been quoted a lot is, "I've got the planes. It's a spiritual affliction like the blues." Mm-hmm. Do you feel that this play helps to define the feeling of being from the Plain States?
Yes, and it's a rather dense, as in thick, as in complicated question, not as in stupid. there's a sensibility about these people that is very Midwestern, even though it's the Plains and quote unquote not the Midwest.
But it's a place where everybody wants to get away from. Almost all the characters have either left or are in the process of leaving.
There's a loneliness to all of these characters. There's a certain horizontalness in view of in this play. And, you know, Deanna, you can probably speak to this even better than I. Deanna grew up in Texas. But there's a loneliness, there's a directness, there's a gallows humor that to me feels very of that geography. You should speak
I agree.
Words.
You have plenty of space to be alone out there. It's not urban. And I remember when I was a child feeling very lonely and going outside in my small West Texas town and looking up at the sky and feeling so tiny and yet still part of the universe. I know that sounds kind of other, but there is a solitude that is available to one out there and a sadness, but there is also a tremendous spirit of self-reliance out there.
And a stubbornness,
yeah. Especially in Oklahoma and West Texas, where the drought hit so horribly in the 30s, and we're talking about Violet being part of that generation. Mm-hmm. And I know my mother and father were hit very hard by the Depression.
And Violet's always reminding everybody else of what a rough time she had when she was growing up.
Yeah.
We also, interestingly, Dennis Letts, who plays Beverly,
yes.
is the playwright's father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must have been odd. There's almost a Freudian
no,
problem
it's not
there.
Odd. It's not. It doesn't odd. Feel it is, odd at all.
Oh, my goodness.
There's something about Tracy's father being in it, Tracy's father being an educator and somewhat of the poet himself that brings an authenticity to this play that I don't think otherwise would be there necessarily. And there's some... It just sort of adds to the layer of meaning for us to do the play about a family, the Steppenwolf family doing it, a family member in it, that it becomes... It's very moving.
Tracy's mother is also a writer and has written a book that was written, made into a movie. And the whole family, we've met the cousins, the aunts, the uncles. I had Billy, his mother, loaned me her mother's diary that she wrote when she was in the 7th and 8th grade. This is so, we have had such access to the background of these people. Now, his family was not, although he says Violet was very much like his grandmother, poor thing. I mean, I can't imagine. His family that we've met are very sweet people. But we've had such an access to this layered family feeling that Dennis Letts, his father, just embodies among us. We adore him.
Mm-hmm. The stagehand strike delayed your opening. Were you worried that you might not wind up going on? Or was everybody staying here in New York waiting for the thing to be?
We were really fortunate. Our producers made sure that we still had our housing allowance to keep our rents. Otherwise, I don't know that we would have been able to afford to stick around. So, yeah, we just sort of hunkered down and waited it out. But it was depressing.
It was depressing, but I don't think any of us thought we were going home.
Yeah.
The producers kept saying, we're opening this show, and we believed it.
And now we won't let you go home because the run has been extended until April 13th. The play is already being called a favorite for the Pulitzer Prize. And I'm sure before you opened, you expected this kind of reception, unless you thought New Yorkers were really stupid.
No. We didn't expect it to this extent. We never thought New Yorkers were stupid. We did. I mean, there was a thought that, they're just going to think this is, a play about a heck family, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Because, there's always the perception of snobby New Yorkers. But it's been so embraced and so adored, and people have been coming back to it.
New Yorkers love good theater.
Yeah.
Even if it is about Hicks.
Well, these are smart people, and these are people we all recognize anyway.
Yeah.
Although I hope to not have to spend much time with someone like Violet.
She was probably really fun at a party. You got it.
You
think. On the other hand, Barbara is okay. I've known a lot of Barbaras. And I want to thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to, actually, when we were walking out of the theater, almost everybody said, those two women were so great. And you know who they were talking about.
It was
the two of you. I've been talking with Deanna Dunnigan and with Amy Morton, those two women in that 13-member cast of August Osage County, which is now at the Imperial Theater, and it will be running into April. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.